Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, September 2nd, 2018. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in my living room studio today with Julie Love and joined via Skype by podcasting royalty Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons from the Living After Faith podcast. This is being recorded in my living room studio, so unfortunately the phone lines will not be open, but we still encourage your feedback and thoughts with your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, by tweeting us at Atheist Talk, or send us a message over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. Julie, thanks for joining me in my house.
Oh, you're very welcome. My house, too.
And Rich and Deanna, thank you so much for taking the time on a Friday night to come on Sunday morning radio.
It's next the week. Best way to wake up early that we could ever find.
Great to be here.
So, you two have been doing the Living After Faith podcast for a few years now. Like, I honestly don't even like know where to start with you two, because I have been a fan of your show since episode 4 or 5 way back in 2010?
Oh, wow. Like,
yeah. So is that when you two started, 2010?
Yes. Started in 2010, did a few episodes in 2010, and then podcasted pretty regular through 2013, and then had that pod fade thing that we're recovering from.
Yeah. Pod fade. Thankfully, Atheist Talk has been on the air since 2008.
Wow.
But we've never pod faded. But then again, we're on the radio, so we haven't radio faded either.
Congratulations. It's hard to avoid a fade. And like I say, we faded, but we're just calling it a hiatus now. And we're back and enjoying what we're doing and having a whole lot of fun with it. Get to talk to people like you.
Well, and ditto, that's one of the things I like about doing this show is getting to talk to people that, you know, I don't want to say idols because that would be terrible, and we're atheists.
Right.
And the atheist community has had enough with hero worship for a while, so I'm going to step back from that. But yeah, people that I've like listened to forever, and it's like, wait, I get to talk to who? That's awesome.
But we feel the same way.
I know. That's just what I was thinking. I was thinking, man, I hate that Hertzie's not here because I was hoping to meet Hertzie.
Oh, yeah. And Hertzie was so bummed that she wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. So I know it's killing her not being here. So
we'll just catch her another time. Maybe we could put her on our show.
Yeah.
She would love that. And, you know, since this is Atheist Talk, we'll also sell Hertzie Talks. Hertzie does have her own YouTube show, and it's a great show for anybody that's listening should go find Hertzie Talks on YouTube. It is hilarious, and I'm a little biased because I'm also on it sometimes too.
Excellent.
The title of your show, Living After Faith. I mean, it seems kind of obvious, but can you take a minute to explain to listeners what your podcast is about?
Well, we chose those words very carefully, and yes, they are obvious. We put the focus on living after faith. We primarily reach out or are here for people who have experienced religion and for one reason or another have come out of religion and find out that there's a lot of recovery involved. It's especially more so the more fundamental the church is, but we still have people who were not in fundamental churches who listen, because when your whole world comes from one view, regardless of what that view is, in this particular case, we deal with people whose worldview is religion. And then you realize religion is not an acceptable thing. It's not real. It's not true. It's not what I thought it was. Now my whole worldview is skewed. And how do I get myself into a worldview where it's more reality based? And that's where we really focus. Our early episodes, we talked with a lot of people who were in that painful place of coming out and making those discoveries. Now our podcast more focuses on people who have made that and how they made the transition, how they were able to, the techniques, the tools they used to get to the place that they can now be, fitting into that regular life, that reality-based life.
So you deal with show like a lot of religious thinking, but does your show like also? I mean, like if I'm not religious, but I have a lot of dogmatic thinking of some other kind, I mean, would I still find value in like your show?
Yeah, we try to deal with every topic from a critical thinking point of view, a free thinking point of view, logic and reality based. And we don't exactly preach skepticism and that kind of thing, but we try to like live it by example. Like if I talk about something I'm unsure about, I'll use scientific language to say, you know, to the best of our knowledge, we think this is the case and this is true. So that I'd say it's more by, it's the way we operate, not what we preach.
Yeah, I find it's really good with, like I'm a skeptic and I'm an atheist. The two don't always go hand in hand because, you know, I have met plenty of religious people that are also skeptics. And I don't want to like ostracize them from the skeptic, from, you know, skeptical movements and things like that. I just don't understand personally how you could be an atheist and not a skeptic. But then also like with this show, Atheist Talk, we're also, you know, we welcome people who are atheists, but not skeptics. So, I mean, we just did a show on alternative medicine and woo not that long ago. And we actually had some feedback from some of listeners who were atheists who were like, but I like homeopathy. And it's like, well, that's fine. Like we don't want to call you out on that. We don't want to say that you're a bad person or that, you know, your atheism isn't valid. It was just, so sometimes we include a lot of skepticism and atheism in our show. And I think that's one of the things I like so much about your show is you tend to do the same thing. Unless I'm misreading you.
Yeah, that's how we both feel very strongly, that skepticism and logical and critical thinking are a lot of what led people like us out of religion, along with things like compassion and emotional considerations. I've met a lot of atheists who are not fully skeptical. You may remember that a lot of the 9/11 truthers back in the day were atheists. Like they could believe in this grand, wild, wacky conspiracy, but still like use their critical thinking to say, I don't believe there's a God.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. Like, I know Julie's like shaking her head because she's with me. It's like, did you have a thought on that, Julie?
Common sense and logic don't exist anymore. And it doesn't matter whether you're atheist or Christian or anything else. It's just, let's put our thinking caps on here and think about what really does make sense. Not just like science-based, but just like thinking-based.
I think a lot of what we're doing is in that line that you're talking right there. A lot of it, we take the person where that person is when we're dealing with a guest and let that person tell their story. And a lot of times our show gets into the emotional aspects of atheism, religion, faith, belief, those kind of things. A lot of times we'll have the emotional concept or the emotional feeling with the program. But I think that's necessary, and that's one of the things that is required to help people process through. So a lot of times our show is a bit raw, is a bit trigger warning-ish, for lack of a better term, or content notes, because it is, sometimes it does play on the emotions, but that's part of what it is. That's what I think makes living after faith, is we do focus on the living, and living involves a lot of emotion.
So I guess you're talking about your show kind of having almost like a built-in content notice or like a trigger warning that like you should almost like go into the show understanding that you might be triggered if you're a listener. Just because like you said, it's really raw and emotional. And I want to take that if I can, Rich, to, do you feel comfortable? Like I know on your show, you've talked about your religious background because I've been listening to you since 2010. We could do like an entire episode on your show, and you have, and listeners should go do it. There'll be links in the show notes. But can you give us like an overview of your journey?
Sure. I started out as a kid in an Episcopal church, and in high school, I had a drinking problem, realized the Episcopal church couldn't help me, and then went out looking for my own solutions to problems. I tried esoteric occult things, wound up through a process called missionary dating. I wound up in a Pentecostal church, and because I was a radio speaker for a living, I already had speaking skills, so it just took a little bit more, and I was instantly put into the pulpit. For 10 years, I assisted in church pastoring in a very fundamental, very judgmental, extremely harsh, hateful religion. And, I mean, literally everybody was going to hell, but...
Please stay with us through the break. We'll return in just a few moments to continue this conversation with Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Hi, this is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a direct, smart, and I gotta promise you, a fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, and my co-host Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Sam Cedar as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and that radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 3 to 6 and Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 950. It is the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dina. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France, New Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome back to AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio with Julie Love, and joined via Skype by Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons of the Living After Faith podcast. If you're interested in getting involved with the conversation we're having today, it will have to be via email, as we're recording this episode on a Friday night, about a week before it's going to air. You can still email us, however. Send your message to radio at mnatheist.org, or you can tweet us your love using @atheisttalk. Leave a comment on the Facebook post for this episode over at facebook.com/atheisttalk,
And with that, we will jump back into the pre-recorded conversation with myself, Julie Love, and Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons.
Sure. I started out as a kid in an Episcopal church, and in high school, I had a drinking problem and realized the Episcopal church couldn't help me, and then went out looking for my own solutions to problems. I tried esoteric occult things, wound up through a process called missionary dating. I wound up in a Pentecostal church, and because I was a radio speaker for a living, I already had speaking skills, so it just took a little bit more, and I was instantly put into the pulpit. For 10 years, I assisted in church pastoring in a very fundamental, very judgmental, extremely harsh, hateful religion. And, I mean, literally everybody was going to hell, but the people in my church, because your church isn't as good as my church, because your pastor isn't as good as my pastor. It was a horrible environment. But when you're in that environment as a true believer and you don't see from the outside, it engulfs your entire life. So I spent 20 years in a religion where I couldn't watch television, couldn't watch music, movies, couldn't listen to secular music, even though I was on the radio as a personality, and that was what I did for a living. So technically, I could work at a radio station that I couldn't listen to, which was bizarre. You could watch a DVD in the later years. You could watch a DVD on a screen because it wasn't a tape, but you couldn't watch a tape on a screen, and you couldn't watch television on a screen, but you could watch television if it was put on a DVD. And it was such a complicated, but all of the rules were like that. So you had so many ins and outs and bizarre things. It was absolutely a personality cult, and the churches followed the personality of the pastor. And if he was a abusive guy, then you're going to find the whole church is abusive. And that's where most of them wound up at. So I was a Pentecostal assistant pastor and pastor, the two together, 20 years, 10 years as a senior pastor. When someone in my church visited a theme park with their mother, and when they came to our church for a special service, unbeknownst to them at the time, could have exposed our church to SARS, which was a disease that was killing people in Taiwan and killed a lot of people in Canada. Didn't kill a lot of people in the U.S., but when my church was exposed to SARS, the Centers for Disease Control got in charge of things, and they put us under quarantine and a few restrictions, and we had requirements. And I watched as the people in my church just scattered like cockroaches. And I realized if they were really believers in the doctrines we taught, they would look at this as God's will and our opportunity of a lifetime to stand up and do something for God. But on the other hand, we're scattered like roaches. And that began to break my faith. But what really pushed it over the edge was the leadership of the church took the same view. They were scattering like cockroaches. They didn't want to rise up to the occasion. And I realized that even the people in the upper end of the faith didn't truly believe that their doubts ran them. And that at that point, I realized it was nothing but a scam. And there was no way I could reconcile that within myself. So I took on the possibility. I tried to change the church. I went away to a lake for a couple of weeks and tried to sort my own brain out. I thought I could do that in a couple of weeks, and here it's been years, and my own brain is still not sorted out. But I sorted it out enough to know I wasn't going to be the liar who came to the pulpit every Sunday and just said, give me your money. So I tried to change the church to a more traditional, less dogmatic, less fundamental, and was successful largely with everyone but my own family. And my own family staged a coup, got me removed from the church. Well, they staged a coup, and I resigned because the handwriting was on the wall. I did not want to put the church through a bloody mess when the outcome was going to be the same. The same was I was going to hit the road. So I hit the road, and from that, I was disfellowshipped. I was defrocked, totally alienated from the church, which was fine with me, and began the life of recovery, which I guess I'm going to be on until the end of it. So that's where we are.
So just to follow up, and I'm sure it's more complicated, and that's why I'm having to follow up with this, but you said that like the leaders of the church stopped being leaders, like they weren't practicing the faith the way they were proclaiming it. So their unbelief led to your disbelief? Am I understanding that right?
That's a very good way of putting it. I haven't put it that way, but when I realized they didn't believe, I couldn't believe anymore. That was where I realized, okay, we've been told a lot of bull. And that's where I started questioning things. Prior to that, my attitude had been, better men than me have worked out these doctrines through the generations. Better men than me, and I'm saying men intentionally because there were no women involved. Better men than me have done all of these things through the religious process through these years and have come, you know, with grips with God and how to. So my job was not to question what they had done, but to back up what they had done. So I used my ministry as a way of backing that up. So I would study intentionally to support the doctrines. I would find things wrong with other people's doctrines simply because I could. But then, when I realized they were not genuine, I had to ask questions. And when I started asking questions, honestly, my answers kept coming back to the same thing, that it was not a faith that I could any longer believe in because it was simply constructed out of whole cloth, just made out of thin air. I was ashamed of myself for a long time for having fallen for that, but I realized the circumstances that took me in, and I was vulnerable at the time and would have gone into anything. That's just the way my personality is and the way I was at that time. So I've grown a lot since then, but I got sucked in, and it took 20 years to get out, and here I am another, trying to think how long ago that was. That was in 04. This is 18, so we're coming up on 14 years, December 1st. From the day I resigned the church. So, and I'm still getting out of church. I mean, there are still times I still have the dreams. This morning had a hard wake up because I had dreams last night and I was in church again. I was preaching. It hasn't let go of me yet, but I'm still trying to let go of it.
When you named your show Living After Faith, did you realize at the time how apt of a name that really was?
We actually did. We tossed around a whole lot of names and a whole lot of ideas.
All right, we'll return to our discussion with Julie, Rich, and Deanna right after this brief commercial break. This is Maddie Love, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show, airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at MinnesotaHospice.com.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Are you looking for the smarter way to buy and sell homes? Check out HouseGeeks.com. The HouseGeeks with Bricks Real Estate have the experience, tools, and technology to get you the best value. At HouseGeeks.com, you will be able to download their free home search app, easily set up appointments, or request your free home and neighborhood market assessment. Remember, the HouseGeeks, the smarter way to buy and sell homes.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Hey.
Oh, hey, Deb. I thought you were the radon test guys.
The who test guys?
Didn't you see the paper Sunday? The Surgeon General issued another lung cancer warning.
Oh, like the cigarette warning?
Yeah. They're saying we have to get our houses tested for radon.
I don't smell any radon in my house.
Oh, that's because radon is an odorless, colorless, tasteless gas that seeps into your house from underground.
Does this story have a happy ending?
Yeah. You'll be a lot happier once you get your house tested.
Learn more. Visit the EPA at epa.gov/radon. That's epa.gov/radon.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950. I'm Maddie Love, in studio this week with Julie Love, and joined via Skype by Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons from the Living After Faith podcast. Before we continue with our conversation, we need to take a moment to thank our sponsors. All of us at Atheist Talk are asking for your help in keeping secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise in this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio show is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of people like you. It is because of listeners like you that we're able to keep Atheist Talk on the radio and in podcast form. This week, we'd like to thank everyone who is contributing to us on Patreon. Thank you, Ann H., Art K., Carl, Dennis Z., Jackie P., Gene in Vermont, Jeff K., Larry Yellingman, Leslie S., Marissa McCool, Matthew and Nancy Hertz, Ross M., Ryan G., and Steve Shives. You are all awesome, and seriously, you make this show possible, and all of you can listen to this episode early, because without you, this show would not be possible. If you are able to help with the donation, you can do so over at our Radio Fund page or by becoming a patron, like any of those wonderful people I just mentioned. You can sign up for as little as a dollar an episode over at patreon.com/atheisttalk and listen to all of our extended interviews, discussions, and anything with a healthy dose of tomfoolery in a safe space, free from the annoying religiosity inspired by FCC rules. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. When we say we couldn't do this show without you, we really do mean it, and we really truly are grateful for all of your contributions. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael David. And with that, mischief managed, and we'll return to our pre-recorded conversation with myself, Julie, and Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons of the Living After Faith podcast.
When you named your show Living After Faith, did you realize at the time how apt of a name that really was?
We actually did. We tossed around a whole lot of names and a whole lot of ideas, and we wanted living. We wanted an action word to be the primary focus of it, because it is action. It's living. It's what we're doing. And we wanted it. So we had to come up with something after living, and after faith was simply the easiest way of conveying what we thought, what we were trying to do. So there was a whole lot of work that went into naming it. There was actually more work that went into naming the show than there was to actually kicking it off when we started. We, two radio people, we thought, oh, we can do a podcast. We had no clue what it takes to do a podcast. And I think that's probably, now that we've learned a little bit, we're doing better with it.
Well, and I think Living After Faith really hits it, because I think a lot of people feel like there is no life afterwards, because we're taught that that is the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and there's only one way to get there. So to come to that realization that there is life afterwards, and I'm not going to get struck by lightning if I don't have this thought, or if I don't feel this way, or say this prayer, or insert your favorite religious action here. It's a complete lifestyle change.
Yeah, to live without the fear of hell. I don't know if there was a more freeing moment for me, like on my journey to atheism, than that moment. It was like, wow, like there is nobody like reading my thoughts right now. There is like, I am here. Everything I do in this world matters now. There's no second chance here. That was a really freeing feeling.
Yeah, you know, the fear of hell is one that a lot of people struggle with. And, you know, I've heard from so many people where they say they actively don't believe in any gods. They don't believe in heaven and hell, but they're still terrified at the thought of it. And like I myself struggled with it as a kid. I would lay up in bed late at night and the fears would go through me. I was kind of at that age where I thought Noah's Ark wasn't probably a real story, but that my doubts were going to get me in trouble. They were going to get me sent to hell. So I would lay up late at night and read my children's Bible, trying to figure out like, which stories were real and which ones weren't. And if I read that Bible enough, maybe I would make up for my doubts and not be sent to hell. So it was terrifying. I remember it vividly. And I'm really glad I'm over it, but I know a lot of people still have trouble with that.
Well, and Deanne, I know that your background is pretty different than Rich's. But can you share with us your story of, like, how did you find yourself on a skeptical SJW atheist podcast?
Yeah, it was a really long sort of process, I guess. As a kid, I would get dragged to the Methodist church that my mom went to, and she tried real hard to get us to go every Sunday. And I hated putting on dresses. I was a tomboy, sitting still for an hour or two. I'm an ADHD kid. I cannot sit still for that long. And a lot of the stories they would tell us, they would put us into a youth group or whatever, and they didn't make sense, just like Noah's Ark didn't, or the story of Lot. I would say there's obviously immoral and impossible things in these stories. And so after struggling for a while, I kind of put it all out of my mind, you know, maybe 12 or 13. And then I had family problems. My parents were splitting up. I ended up in a foster home after running away from home. And it was an evangelical foster home. And they were very serious about it. It was one of the Vineyard Church branches, if that's something y'all are familiar with.
I'm not, no.
They have like this really heavy focus on music, and they actually kind of franchise music. They like release these songs. Yeah. And so I liked that there was a lot of music, so I always liked singing, but they were obviously of the anti-gay stripe. And I was at that age in my teen years where I was pretty sure I was into girls and boys. And so I had to keep that hidden. I had a lot of fear. The father of the foster home was very obviously treating his biological children differently from us foster kids. He would scream at us. He was pretty emotionally abusive. So I ended up running away from there, too. And so, you know, after that, I ended up hanging out with hippies in the university district in Seattle. And I spent a lot of time at this coffee shop where we all smoked a lot of pot. There was a lot of crystals and herbal healing and that kind of stuff. A lot of people would say things like, oh, I think God is the universe. I still kind of thought that wasn't real, but I was a lot more tolerant of everybody. So I just said, okay, they can believe whatever they want. And I didn't think about it too much. And And probably about 15 years ago, I started discovering the atheist movement. We had the 9/11 attacks, and Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and all those guys were putting out books. And I was like, hey, I remember this. I don't believe in any gods. There's other people that feel the same way. So I started getting into watching shows, reading books, listening to podcasts. And Rich and I became friends and eventually married because we're both non-believers. And so that kind of brought us together. He didn't know anybody he could talk to about this stuff. And when he discovered that I was a skeptic and an atheist, we started hanging out and having, you know, similar feeling people to hang out with. So here I am. I got heavy into the skeptic and atheist movements, and now I'm kind of pretty distant from them because they involve people and people are flawed, but I'm still a skeptic and still an atheist.
I think that's one of the hard things, because churches are out there all the time. You drive by them and they advertise what they are. You know mm-hmm. where you can go if you're looking for like-minded people, but it's, you have to search out to find atheists. They're everywhere, living good lives just like everybody else, but you've got to try to find them. Whereas religion is just everywhere. It's pervasive in our culture, in our face, in on our streets, absolutely everywhere. So it's almost intimidating if one were to even have that feeling. Who do you talk to? You know, at work, it's not an appropriate subject. Maybe amongst your friends, you might have some ideas, but you tend to congregate with people that are like you. So even if you're losing your faith, you're still hanging out with your Christian friends, and you don't dare talk to them about it. So I think that that's where the podcast and all of this really have value, in showing people that, hey, there are people out there of a similar mind and similar feelings.
That's exactly what got us started talking about starting Living After Faith. Was we, Deanna was the first person I could really talk to about my atheist feelings, because I didn't know who was safe. I didn't know what was safe. I was afraid that this would have repercussions. I had moved into a new job. The whole world was different. And here I am now becoming atheist. I didn't initially become atheist. I initially dumped the Pentecostal faith, but then I became an atheist. And after becoming atheist, I really didn't know who to talk with. And when Deanna and I met, it was so easy to have conversations about things like that. We shared books. We did all kinds of things like that. But that was where we thought, you know, it would be nice for other people to have someone they can at least listen to if they can't talk to. So we started the podcast, and then a lot of people have contacted us. We figured there would probably be a few dozen people in the world who would be going through similar situations, but we found out that it was a lot, much, much larger number, and it really surprises us even today, the number of people who do listen, because it tells us a lot of people are going through hell in their life, and that's a difficult place to be.
And I guess I unfairly pointed out Christians. I mean, it's atheism of any kind. It could be leaving other faiths as well. I mean, I know your background and everything else, but it's the same as anybody who loses their faith in whatever they've had.
Right, and especially Muslim, if it's a predominantly, like if you're in another country where Islam is the predominant religion and you become an atheist, you still have that same problem that the person who was Christian has. It's like, where do I go to find other people like me? And unfortunately, like in other countries, who can I talk to where it's safe to talk to? Do you, Rich and Deanna, do you two track, like, and have you heard from people from, I know you've talked to like Bethany Futrell and whatnot from like, from England or from Scotland. Same difference.
Right? Oh, sorry. Bethany Turner.
Oh my gosh. I just confused. I would edit that out, but you know, I'm going to leave that in because I am very fallible.
Do what you want.
I can edit that out.
We'll return to our discussion with Rich Indiana Joy Lyons right after this brief commercial break. This is Maddie Love in studio with Julie Love, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on Earth. Artists like Mark Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm Maddie Love in studio with Julie Love and joined via Skype by Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons of the Living After Faith podcast. And now let's return to the pre-recorded conversation with Rich and Deanna Joy Lyons.
That's the wrong Bethany, Maddie. I'm like, oh geez. But you two had just talked to Bethany Turner from Scotland. Do you have atheists or have you heard from listeners in like other countries where it's not safe to be an atheist?
We get a lot. That's one of the things that surprises me the most when you look up your stats of where your downloads come from. I would have thought that the U.S. would be our primary download area, but it's really not. We have downloads from all over the world, and we do get downloads from some primarily Islamic countries. We get more than I would expect because we've only talked to a few Muslims on our program, mostly because in the atheist movement, the circles we've run in, we haven't encountered a whole lot of them. But the ones we have, we put on the show. But we find that people who reach out to us, regardless of where they were in religion, whether it was Islam, whether it was fundamental Christianity, whether it was liberal Christianity, whether it was Mormonism, I'm trying to think, Jehovah's Witness. We've talked to a lot of different people, and we have a lot of followers that are from different faiths and different backgrounds. But what we do find out is that other countries actually make up the majority of our downloads, but nearly half of it from the U.S., but the rest of the world makes up, and being an English-only podcast and a podcast with such a tight niche, it's a little bit surprising to us even as yet that we do get followers from people literally all over the world.
You too have a really beautiful statement on your page that I think explains why maybe you have so many followers all over the world. It says, life only has meaning if we give it meaning. What is meaningful to you may not be to me. No matter, I want to help you find your best way of living with meaning, and I need that same help from you. And I just feel like that's a really good message. Like, that the meaning doesn't have to be wrapped up in a religion, in a God, in any kind of dogmatic thinking, that we find our own meaning in life. I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, we think so too. It's so important for people to be able to find fulfillment and meaning in their lives. And when they're involved in a religion, especially a very controlling, very fundamentalist religion, that religion defines their whole life. It takes up all their time. It occupies all their thoughts. And so it can be very hard for people who leave a religion. They don't know what to do with their lives, and they don't know how to cope with the freedom. And so that's been a big theme between what we talk about and what we live. It's so hard and so important for people to be able to decide what really means the most to them in life.
I think that meaning was one of the places that I had my really epiphany-like thing. You were talking about how your epiphany, Maddie, was when, and I used a religious term, epiphany, forgive me, how your breakthrough was when no longer believe in hell, no longer have to fear hell, and what a great release that was. I never really had a release over that. My big release was when I realized the only meaning my life would have is the meaning I give it, that it's not pre-prescribed to me, that meaning before always came from God. Well, there is no God, so now there is no meaning. And I went through a period where I felt like life was meaningless, but I had to, and we did an episode with Eric Maisel, and he had the book out called The Atheist Way. He wrote a lot about existentialism and a lot about meaning, and it was from there that I gleaned that meaning really is a thing that the person themselves decides. And what is my meaning in life right now? Well, my meaning, you know, we're taught that it has to be some altruistic, I'm helping others do so and so, or this is my accomplishment in life, where the reality is I get as much meaning sitting in my recliner editing a podcast that I am. My goal as an editor is to make them sound as good as I possibly can, and I take a challenge in that, and it makes me feel good. And does that change the world? No, it doesn't change anything, but it helps me find meaning in what I'm doing. So I can edit a good podcast, and it can be great, and I know it's out there, and I feel like, you know, that is my meaning. Now, whether anybody listens to that podcast or anybody benefits from it, it's released, it's gone, it's out there, it does whatever it does. That's its thing. My thing is I was involved in the process and enjoyed the process. So I had that epiphany, that meaning. Wow, you mean I get to decide what life means to me? And it was such a time of discovery and such a time of, you know, what do I like? It was the first time in life I ever asked myself that question. What do I want to do? What do I want to like? What do I want my life to be like? And that was the point that really came out to me. And once I got that meaning wasn't dictated from on high, and now that there was no on high, there is no meaning, then life began to become living again. It wasn't just surviving. It moved from life to living again. And that's a beautiful place, and still there as we speak.
I find it interesting as you're talking, and I'm thinking, like, I went through, you know, a lot of the same things, like, you know, like with my not being afraid of hell. But as you're talking about finding meaning and like, oh my gosh, I get to do whatever I want with my life. It's not this prescribed thing that I thought it was. And we've we talk a lot about how coming out of atheism is a lot like coming out of the closet for people in the LGBT community. And I totally, like, as you're saying, that's like, as a trans person coming out, it's like, wow, I get to decide what do I like? What do I truly love? What do I really want to do with my life? Who am I really? And I feel like that's similar in that, you know, as you leave religion behind, as you leave what you're supposed to do behind, as you were saying, you get to decide what do you really like? And have you ever really thought about that before without the constraints of what you were told you were supposed to like? And I feel like that's a huge freeing thing for a lot of people.
Absolutely. You know, even as an adult who, you know, didn't come out of like real fundamentalist religion, it's been hard for me to kind of figure out what my own life is going to look like. And, you know, even something as simple as like, what kind of clothes do I want to wear? Because I was constrained by all these, the social, societal expectations and, you know, body shaming and all of that. And so, you know, when you start to go, oh, I don't need those anymore, whatever was holding you back, now I can do what I want and wear what I want and live how I want. And, you know, it's a little scary, but it's very fun and very cool.
Yeah, I feel like now, like, the thing that guides me the most on, like, the choices I make are...
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. This entire conversation is available unedited, uncut, and with a few vulgarities thrown in over on our Patreon page. I'm proud to be on the air with the Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and donors. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at mnatheist.org or our Patreon page. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. All opinions and ideas expressed on today's show were the opinions of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions and ideas of Minnesota Atheists. The podcast for the show should be available right now, so you can go back and listen to us all over again. Have a fantastic Sunday, and thank you for listening this week.